Welcome to another episode of Pat and the Fat Man. We like to talk about sports, movies and sports and whatever else we feel like. I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man, also known as Bruce.
And we are coming at you with an update on the sports ball.
Sports ball.
Sports ball. All right. Where do we want to start, Fat Man?
I guess it'll go quicker with baseball, just because really only one of us has anything to talk about baseball.
That's what she said.
What?
Thanks for the smile. Go ahead, Jack. Yeah, big old Jag. Yeah, Jaggedy Jack. You know what? I'm okay, though. Won a World Series last year. Yeah.
Yeah, 365 days ago. Way to live in the past there, buddy.
I'm going to live in the past as long as it takes. I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm used to it.
Yeah, that's going to be a much longer segment.
Yes, it will. Much longer, angrier.
The Guardians made it to the playoffs, won the AL Central by about 6 games, I think. So they got to skip the first round, the wild card round, where Detroit faced off against Houston and Detroit won.
Yep.
So that was kind of interesting to see that, the fall of Houston.
I know, right? At the hands of the Tigers. I don't think most people would have expected that, but there is a question mark about how long Dusty is going to last at this point.
Well, let's put it this way. Basically, at the beginning of the season, everyone was almost universal in their thought that the American League Central was the worst division in baseball, and it turned out to be the best.
Yep.
Because 3 out of the 4 teams made it to the playoffs.
Right.
Guardians, Detroit, and Kansas City.
Right. I think a lot of people were thinking the West was going to be the big deal since they had both the Astros and Texas. It turned out Texas was not that good this year, and the Astros were good, but they weren't good like they had been.
They didn't start off good. They started off really bad.
Yeah.
And then they came back towards the end, you know, enough to make it to the wild card round at the very least.
Yep.
Detroit makes it to the division series against the Guardians. Detroit went up 2-1 in a 5-game series, so it wasn't looking great for the Guardians, but it went to the full 5 games, which game 5 I was there for, and it was a spectacular game. It was really just, it was incredible. We were out in left field in the bleachers right up against the scoreboard, and the play of the game, Guardians, I think we're down by 2. The bases were loaded and David Fry comes up and hits a grand slam over the left field wall. And from my perspective, what it was is we saw the ball come up and the Guardians hadn't done anything at this point, really. And the ball comes up over towards the wall and then it disappears behind a bunch of fans that were below us. So we didn't know what had happened until the rest of the audience, you know, the fans started cheering.
Yep.
So that was when we figured out it was a grand slam. So that was a really incredible moment and a fun game to be there for. So yeah, the Guardians moved on to the American League Championship Series against the New York Yankees. They lost the first 2. And then they won the first game in Cleveland on a walk-off home run from David Fry again. Those were some incredible moments. That's what made people, you know, when people talk about playoff baseball, that's the game people will point to for a long time because it was Guardians down by this much. And then, boom, 2-run homer ties it up late in the game. And then it goes into extra innings and then, boom, another walk-off home run. You know, they were still fighting. And then so I was also at game 5 of the American League Championship Series. And you could tell at that point, both the Guardians, the team and the fans were pretty exhausted at this point. It may have been sold out, but not everyone was in their seat all at the same time. And you could tell the crowd was a little more subdued than it was in game 5 of the division series. Ultimately, the Guardians lost to the Yankees in that game 5 after a 3-run homer in, I want to say, the 8th. Gave them the 2-run lead, or 3-run lead. I'm sorry, it was tied at that point. And then they gave up a 3-run homer. It was a hell of a season. The Guardians had been in first place since April 13th. That's most of the season. And they fought. They never got lower than second. Well, they never reached second after April 13th. They were always number 1 in the division. everyone had this team pegged as a 500 team, being as young as they were with a brand new manager. I mean, by brand new manager, I mean, this guy had just retired as a player, had never managed anything in his life. And this was his first season. And he gets them the division pennant, gets them the win in the division championship series, and takes the Yankees to game five. So it was really an incredible season. It was a lot of fun to watch these guys, a lot of fun to watch. It was sad that it ended the way that it did. But I woke up the day after, I woke up Sunday, not sad because they lost, which I was sad that they lost. I mean, of course, but I was more sad that I woke up and there wasn't any more baseball to watch for me, because the World Series is going to be the Yankees versus the Dodgers. And I know, like, ESPN and a lot of the sports guys, they're all excited about it because they're like, oh, yeah, Yankees and Dodgers. Look, it's the two richest ball clubs in all of baseball facing off against each other. To me, that's not entertaining. Don't get me wrong. Shohei Ohtani will be interesting to see, and Aaron Judge will probably be interesting to see because they'll both be Hall of Famers someday. But
yeah, it's all good. We get to watch a quarter of all of the World Series ever happen again. Yippee. Right. Who gives up?
Right.
Like, nobody cares. Everybody hates both these teams because they're stupid rich.
Right. And the only thing interesting about them is the two all-stars that they have on their team. That's it. I mean, really, that's it. You'll hear stories about Juan Soto and this, that, and the other thing. Nobody outside of the home bases care about any other of the players other than, like I said, Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani.
Nobody cares.
So now I'm just like, you know, I'm just looking forward to March again for spring training.
Not March Madness.
Not March Madness. No.
As always, A&M will be put against, we'll be mid-ranked, and we'll be put against the very top team and the second top team for our first two, just to make sure we get knocked out in the first two rounds, because we took a dump in somebody's Cheerios at some point and they flip and hate us. Probably Texas.
Well, probably for the same reason as, like, you know, all the crap that happens to our NFL teams, is that the A&M's got such rich people, and rich people do crazy things to people that, you know, make you go, all right, I don't know how, but I'll get back at you, you rich weirdo.
Funny part is we're like only 2/3 as rich as the Texas folks. So is that where we want to go next? College ball?
Probably. Yeah.
All right, what a show this has been. This whole year has been nothing but awesome, crazy, crazy ballness. And I, of course, I'm speaking of the SEC. I could give two flips about any other conference at this point. The Big Ten is like four teams and 10 jokes.
Right.
And they're all have these bloated winning records because they're all playing joke teams.
Yep.
It's like trying to rank, you know, League One versus the Premier League. And just so you're aware, League One is the bottom tier paid professional team league for soccer, or as they would say, English football soccer. In England.
Yeah.
Yes. And the Premier League is the top. So that comparing the SEC, like I was talking about this last year, I think possibly the year before, this is very much floating out like that. The SEC is definitely showcasing itself as the Premier League. The Big Ten is probably the Champions League. The Big 12 is League Two, and the ACC is League One. And they're just, the Big 12 and the ACC are such jokes anymore. It's not even funny. Like, the team, you watch the matchups and you're like, are you even kidding me? What even is this? Oh, this is like Power Five or Power Four conference? Sure it is. Colorado has managed to get more wins since they moved into the Big 12 than they had in the Pac-12 in like 3 years. So I don't care, right? I don't care about Clemson, right? Because they're trash. I don't care about Notre Dame. I know they beat Texas A&M in the first round, and they've played literally nobody else for the rest of the season.
Right.
They'll probably make the playoffs and get destroyed by whoever they play because it's Notre Dame. And because, you know, the AP and the coaches love Notre Dame because they were really good in the 50s.
And a movie was made out of them, you know.
Yeah. We're 70 years down the lines, folks. Let's move on, shall we?
And here's the better part, is that the Big Ten has really kind of made itself better by adding those California teams.
Right.
I mean, just like we saw this year, again, Oregon beats Ohio State.
Yep.
Granted, by 1 point. And they literally just swap places on the AP poll.
Yep.
But it shows that Ohio State can be beat within its own conference. So it shows that, you know, it's not just the Ohio State conference. You know, there are actual teams in that conference.
Yeah.
Whereas the SEC, it's like all of a sudden with Vanderbilt beating Alabama, like, whoa, anything can happen now.
Everybody is beating the crud out of everybody else. Like, this right. this is Premier League football, folks. Like, yeah, sure. You have your somewhat dominant teams, you know, either Alabama or Georgia, depending on the year. And now Texas is trying to throw its hat into that dominance ring as well. But that's, you know, you look at the Premier League and it's like, yeah, Manchester United, they're somewhat dominant, but they're not like, it's not like Alabama was for forever.
Right.
I mean, it's a much more open scheme. And that is definitely what we've gotten showcased this year. So just to go through it, like A&M's one loss so far this year, 7 games. One loss to Notre Dame. That was the very beginning. A non-conference loss, right? So Notre right. Dame doesn't have a conference. They lost by 10. They lost at home. This was Connor Wegman playing. He did not look good.
And it was the first game of the season.
He had played somewhat in the previous season, and then he had gone out on an injury. He's back from that injury. He's playing. He doesn't look great. This was an extremely defensive game, and our defense did well. Their defense did better and our offense did worse is effectively how it came down to. And really, this was a 13-13 game until the last 5 minutes. That's when most of the points were scored. Mm-hmm. Following that, we went on and played the powerhouse of McNeese State, beat them 52-10. Our backup quarterback went into the game before halftime, 5 minutes left in the third quarter. And really, the only reason McNeese was able to score those 10 points is because we had our entire first string on defense was out of the game. And special teams was an entirely walk-on force in the second half. So the team's kicking the ball off. Well, not the kicker, but everybody else on the field at that time, you know, running down the guy who caught the ball was a walk-on. And that's an A&M tradition for the games where they get ahead by a lot. Next game we played was in the Swamp against Florida. So at this point, Wegman has a shoulder problem. I'm trying to remember exactly what it's called.
Wasn't the labrum, was it?
I don't remember. It's not an injury. What it is it's an inflammation. Mm-hmm. It'll kind of come. He plays on it a lot. It'll flare up. It'll get worse. And then he has to sit out for some games. The more he plays on it, the worse it is, more or less.
Poor kid will never get in the NFL then.
I don't know. He's still kind of up there in the draft potential. So we'll see how that ends up playing out. You never know. But either way, we play Florida. We play with our backup quarterback, Reed. He does decently. Reed, honestly, is not a good passer. He's okay. He started to groove with a couple of our core receivers, but he's not. He is a runner. He likes running the ball. He likes running with the ball. And we only beat Florida 33-20. We missed 2 field goals on that. I don't know what was up with Randy Bond, but he missed 2 in a row. So it should have been 39-20. But the honest truth is, if you watch that game, we just manhandled Florida. there was really no question about who was the dominant team on the field. And that was our first road win in a long time.
And our first conference game.
Yeah, it was our first conference game of the season and our first road win in, I mean, almost like 2 seasons, if I remember correctly. Granted, Florida is terrible this year, mostly. and we'll talk about what happened last weekend when we get there. But they weren't very good. We went and beat them in the Swamp. Hey, anytime you win a road game in the SEC, it's something to celebrate. The honest truth is.
Yep.
We then go on to face the, I jokingly say powerhouse of Bowling Green, but honestly, they are, as far as FBS goes, outside of, you know, the SEC, they're a pretty dang good team. They took Penn State all the way to the end. They took A&M all the way to the end, and Penn State is ranked number 2 or 3, depending on which poll you're looking at. And honestly, they don't deserve to be there. We're ranked 14. Whatever. Screw you, AP and Coach's poll. I know A&M can't be ranked high. Bleep you.
Well, okay. If we're going to segue to that real quick, it should be noted that the week before this past week, we had a bye week. And we actually rose 1 rank from 15 to 14. Last week, we face a flesh and blood opponent. We actually played and we didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Didn't go up at all. Stayed exactly where we were. Lucky not to go down, probably.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Then we go on to play Arkansas. And this is, of course, the last game playing at Jerry's World AT&T Stadium. Jerry Jones being an Arkansas graduate. Both Arkansas and A&M kind of being tired of playing there. They'd rather play at home, have their home crowd and all that. As per almost always, we won the game 21-17. As per always, it was a crazy ass game. It always is. There's no other way to describe it. This was probably actually one of the more tame ones, and there was still some crazy stuff that went on during the game. Arkansas, as far as the team goes, they're basically quarterback is very similar to Reed, who also played in this game, if I remember correctly. He is an extremely good runner. He is not a great passer. They have a pretty good running back, and that's basically the team. Arkansas's defense is okay. They're nothing great or anything. That was kind of the beginning of the year. That's the first five games. Then we get really down to it. That's our second conference win. The next team we play is Missouri. And at that time, Missouri is ranked number 8 in the country. They're looking pretty good. They had come off a signature win against Vanderbilt, which is the last time Vanderbilt lost. That was 3 weeks ago, folks. So we'll get to Vanderbilt in a minute here. But we play Missouri. I go into that game thinking we're toast. We're just not that good. We're okay. You know, we kind of went toe-to-toe with Arkansas. We did okay against Florida. We got beat by Notre Dame. Bowling Green, we barely beat Bowling Green. We only won by 6 points. We destroy Missouri 41-10. Like, we almost shut them out.
We almost beat them as bad as we beat McNeese.
Yes. And this was Connor Wegman's return. And he was on fire, baby. He was on fire. So he basically was connecting. I think his completion rate was something like 23 out of 24. He was a ridiculous number of completions all over the field. He was hitting everything. He ran the ball a couple of times, but he looked good. He looked comfortable in the pocket. He didn't have that scared look we see all over our quarterback's faces all the time. And which we saw back in the Notre Dame game, to be honest. So that was nice to see. And so then it's sort of like, okay, so what's going to happen now? We end up ranked after this point. Missouri drops out of the 8th spot. Or no, we end up ranked. We were at 15, and then comes the bye week. We go to 14. And then this last weekend, we played Mississippi State in Starkville. I don't know if you've ever been to a game in Starkville. Any game, doesn't matter. But what you will come out of that game is with the inability to hear. And the reason is because every one of those bleeping students has a cowbell that they ring the whole fucking time, the entire game. It's just nothing but cowbell. I will never go back to Starkville and watch a game. I won't do it. I like my ears too much for that crap. Like, and don't get me wrong, like A&M games are loud. It doesn't matter. It's a different kind of loud. People yelling is different from ringing a cowbell. We go in, we play Mississippi State. It's Connor Wegman. We had two interceptions from Wegman. We should have had about 6. He was throwing a lot of bad passes. He was throwing to places he shouldn't have thrown. The ones that actually got picked off, he almost just threw it to them, which, granted, I get it. Their colors are exactly like our colors. They're maroon and white. So it was our guys in white jerseys and maroon pants and their guys in maroon jerseys and white pants. So I get it. You can get confused in this game. I've seen it happen almost every game. There's at least one interception where it gets thrown to a defender where you're like, there was no receiver anywhere near him. And you know, the quarterback just got mind blanked. That being said, the only reason Mississippi State scores 2 of their 3 touchdowns is because of mistakes by the offense, basically those interceptions. They would not have scored in the second half. The defense looked awful in the first half. They looked amazing in the second half. They were destroying State. On the other side of the ball, we never really got better as far as offense goes. I will say once Mississippi State's defense was tired, Le'Veon Moss and Daniels were able to just run all over them anywhere they wanted, basically. And it's a testament, you know, watching Moss play, he was pretty impressive. He had several touchdowns in this one where he dragged defenders into the end zone. In fact, one of them, he dragged four people. He gets tackled on like the three by two guys and drags those two guys into the line, into the right to the end zone line. He gets hit by another two guys. And then an A&M offensive lineman comes and pushes him in. And so he brings four guys with him into the end zone. We win this game 34-24. I'll come back to that number in a minute because it's important for some comparison. But we don't move. We don't move. Our rank stays at 14. So that's A&M in depth because I'm an A&M fan and I will talk about them all day. But let's talk about some of the other shenanigans that's going on in the SEC. And I won't go through teams step by step. So let me talk about Vanderbilt just a little bit here. So like I said, Vanderbilt loses to Missouri September 28th, right? That's their last loss. And Vanderbilt's schedule doesn't get easier from there. They go on to play Alabama, who at the time is ranked the number one team in the nation. They beat Alabama by 5 points, 40-35. Nobody was expecting that.
There was one person in the entire United States that came out a millionaire because he put $5 on Vanderbilt.
Yeah, exactly. You go look at the line and the spread on that one, and it's nowhere near what the end of, what it ended up looking like. And the God's honest truth, it's not because Alabama screwed up a whole bunch. It's because Vanderbilt was playing good football. And the reason we know that is because the next weekend they went and beat Kentucky. And then the next weekend they went and beat Ball State. Yeah, whatever, Ball State, who cares? But they beat Kentucky, although Kentucky is proving out to be a pretty trash team. They managed to lose to the Gators in the Swamp, which is in Gainesville. I want to say 49-29, something god-awful ridiculous.
Yeah, but we know that in football, it's hard to string wins. Even if you're facing back-to-back bad teams, that we know that you can just winning in football is a harder thing. So you come back, you know, you put all you've got into beating one team. And in this particular case, Alabama, but you still find the strength to go out and beat your next two opponents. Yeah. And again, like you said, they're bad teams, but this is also Vanderbilt, who you get lucky, but you're still Vanderbilt. You know, you're not expected to really run the table at any point.
Right. Vanderbilt's kind of like it's very literally the redheaded stepchild of SEC football. They get beaten up every year. They were part of the East. So A&M, I think, played them once so far, but otherwise they were played by the SEC East teams, who they always counted Vanderbilt as a guaranteed win. Really until the last 3 years. The last 2 years, Vanderbilt started to win games. I think they even put up three conference wins last year, which was dang impressive for Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. And now they've taken down Alabama and Kentucky. And who should they be playing next week but Texas University? I'm not going to call it the University of Texas because I'm a bunch of T-sips, but
that's correct. You know, yes.
But Texas. So Vanderbilt's ranked number 25. Texas is number 5 right now. Now let me tell you a little story about Texas.
I was going to say, there's a reason they're 5 and not 1.
So Texas comes out. Their opener is against Colorado State. They destroy them 52-0. Whatever. Nobody cares. It's Colorado State. Now, they have kind of the show for, you know, second weekend. They're playing Michigan, right? And Michigan is the reigning champion, right? They're the national champions. And Texas comes out and just punches them in the face. And this is at home. This is in Michigan. Texas wins that game 31-12. I tell you what, that was probably the strangest game for me because I both wanted Texas to lose and win at the same time. Because I'm an SEC conference all the way kind of guy. And I like to see us beat other places, but I always like to see Texas lose. After that, they play UTSA. Who cares? They play Louisiana Monroe. Who cares? You know, they won 56-7, 51-3. Don't care. Then they play Mississippi State. They win 35-13. Okay. All right. I see it. They put up about as many points as we did against Mississippi State, but they let State score fewer points. Fine. Then they play Oklahoma. And this is in Dallas. This is in the Cotton Bowl inside Fair Park. And they beat Oklahoma they just, it was almost criminal. Almost had to call it the Texas Rangers. 34-3. I think prior to this, Oklahoma may still have been ranked, but after this, they are not ranked anymore. And there's a really good reason, because they are trash this year. Oklahoma can't put together an offense or a defense for that matter. Their entrance into the SEC was very much a punch in the face, whereas Texas has been throwing lots of wild swings. But let's face it, folks, they didn't play anybody. They hadn't played anybody at all yet. You play Michigan, but it's a Michigan without Jim Harbaugh because he's gone off to coach the Ravens. UTSA, okay, that's a minor league school. That's part of the Texas system. Louisiana Monroe, that's a minor league school, part of the LSU system. Mississippi State is Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Which they played at home. And by home, I mean in Texas, in Austin. The Oklahoma game was on neutral ground, but Oklahoma's terrible. So the first real opponent they play in the SEC is Georgia. And at this point, Georgia's ranked number 5 because Georgia lost to Alabama. That was one heck of a game. We'll get to that later. It's like I said, it's been nothing but a round robin beatdown in the SEC because we're the Premier League. And so Georgia goes into Austin and more or less rocks Texas's world. Like literally everybody, and I mean everybody who is affiliated with the ESPN family of networks, had Texas winning this game. The line had Texas winning the game. Vegas had Texas winning. Everybody had Texas winning this game. Georgia beat them 30-15. Just think about that. 30-15 at home in Austin. Texas is the number one school, right? Number one ranked school after Alabama got knocked out by Vanderbilt and dropped to number 8 or 7 after that. Now they're 15. They're actually ranked lower than A&M. This was beautiful to watch in every way. It was fantastic to watch all of the ESPN talking heads, so many of which live in Austin and are diehard TSIP fans and are just abhorrent to listen to on the TV. They just talk about how amazing Texas is and Texas that and Texas this, and they never talk about Georgia because they're a biased bunch of bees. And Georgia's defense put up one heck of a fight. Texas has 2 quarterbacks, Ewers and Manning. And Manning is from the Manning dynasty, from the many Mannings who played football. Ewers was in the game for a little bit, had to come out. They put Manning in. Manning stunk it up really badly, like basically stalled out everything. They pulled him. They put Ewers back in the second half, and Texas actually started to put a football game together. Prior to that, Georgia kind of just owned the game, both on offense and defense. And in the second half, Texas started to try and come back. There were a lot of referee calls which were questionable, which helped them quite a bit. There was one call, set of calls, which was very egregious, and I have to talk about it in particular. So what happens is, you know, Georgia's got the ball. They make a pass. In the course of the pass, it goes to a wide receiver. He does not make the catch. The Texas Longhorn, the defender, is kind of right behind him. There's a lot of physical contact. There's a lot of question marks about who. Could somebody have pushed off somebody else? Was there interference? The refs throw the flag. They call interference on Texas. The crowd, specifically the student section, is so incensed by this call that they then start pelting water bottles onto the field. To Sars's credit, which is the coach of Texas, he runs onto the field and starts waving them down to stop. Right. And so everybody from, you know, Texas's side of the field is coming out and grabbing water balls and pulling them off the field. So to clean up the field. So what we don't have is a repeat of what happened with Tennessee, Ole Miss, where Tennessee threw so much trash on the field that it delayed the game for half an hour while they cleaned it up. And the Tennessee coach did nothing to try and calm the crowd or quiet things down because he agreed. he was mad at the officials. Sars was also mad at the officials, but he went out there and put a stop to it. That being said, what happens next, this I think is a terrible precedent to send. And what happens next is the refs, because of this delay in game forced by the audience, reverses the call. There's no challenge by either coach. There's no there's no announcement that they're even reviewing the call, right? They're just, while this is going on, all the refs are in a huddle talking to each other. And when the field clears and they're about to go back, they announce it. No, we're reversing the call. And I think this was a fourth down, right? So this would have made it a first down for Georgia. It reverses it, turns it into a first down for Texas. So huge, huge, huge play. Whether or not the call was good, and honestly, I think you could go either way with that. I honestly think it was a non-call, to be honest, if I was going to look at it objectively. But the refs made a call. And to say the audience can then influence and bully the refs into changing their call, that's a dangerous, dangerous precedent to set.
Well, especially nowadays, now that we know all the refs' names. So if you're, you know, a fan base, you're just watching every week on who's going to referee. And then you're like, all right, this is our week that we can just, you know, bully the refs.
Right. And let's be 100% honest here. SEC fans who go to football games, especially the student sections, they're effectively on level with soccer hooligans. Like, they're not quite that bad yet, I mean, but we'll get there. Don't worry.
Well, there's always Tennessee. Well, no, Tennessee's not part of the SEC, but still.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I didn't think they were, but Mustard. Okay, Tennessee mm-hmm. and Mustard. And I mean, yeah. Is now a thing.
Right, well, yeah, and it's like, I got to be honest. I personally, as an A&M fan, I don't really want to go to a game in some of the other stadiums, not just because of the noise like Mississippi State, but because I honestly don't feel safe.
Right.
Like, I don't. I feel like the wrong turn is going to break out into a fight.
Right.
Which we've seen happen.
Well, because you look at some of the victories and these people, you know what they do? They take the freaking field goal posts out of the ground and, you know, carry it 10 miles to a river.
And throw it in the river.
Right. You know, if you behave that way in a victory, you can't imagine what you do in a loss.
That was problematic. But either way, Texas ends up losing at home. They drop to rank number 5. Georgia manages to go back up to number 2. Unfortunately, Oregon takes the top spot. Whatever, college football, whatever, AP poll.
Right. I mean, because the only team that Oregon's beat of note is Ohio State, which, don't get me wrong, is something of note, but I'm not sure it's, you know, number one in the nation kind of note.
Right. So Texas's game coming up this coming weekend is against Vanderbilt. And I can tell you flat out, the entirety of the rest of the SEC is rooting for Vandy. Anchor down, folks. Anchor down. All right. So some other notable things happening here. Like I said, Alabama gets beat by Vandy.
I was going to say, we could talk about the Alabama-Georgia game.
Yes. So Alabama-Georgia. This was a big game, kind of a number one, number two in the nation at the time. I think Georgia was ranked number one. Alabama was effectively ranked number two. This game more or less gets owned by Alabama for about 3 quarters and 5 minutes. They score something like 30 some odd points in that time frame, mm-hmm. and they more or less shut Georgia. I think Georgia scores like one touchdown. And then the last 10 minutes,
pure pandemonium.
Georgia just storms back and they score 19 points. I want to say they kick an onside kick. They manage to recover it. They take the lead. There's a point at which they even take the lead, and it looks like they're going to win this game. And Alabama manages to put a stop together and put a drive together and scores and then makes a 2-point conversion, basically, to clinch it. And they end up winning the game 41-34. Crazy game. Really a huge downer for Georgia for most of that game. And then like this brief ray of hope, and then a dash of that a dashing of that hope that occurs at the end. But really, really some good football. Definitely the number one, number two team in the nation playing football against each other. Now we're sitting, you know, Georgia's ranked number 2 and Alabama's ranked number 15 because Alabama goes on to lose to none other than Vanderbilt, like I mentioned before. And then the weekend after Vanderbilt, they beat South Carolina, but they only beat South Carolina by 2 points, 27-25. And then they go on to lose to Tennessee. In Tennessee. So second time Tennessee's beat them at home in basically the second time in a row. The second time they've beat them in the last, I don't know, 20 years. Like, this was a very one-sided rivalry for a long time, the Tennessee-Alabama rivalry. It's not Alabama's primary rivalry. That's against Auburn, but this is kind of the big game in the middle of the season for them. And Tennessee just beat them kind of flat out, 24-17. There was a lot of football on both sides of the ball. More or less at that point, Tennessee was ranked in the mid-teens, and Alabama had been ranked, I think, 7 or 8, and they swapped places. So Tennessee is now ranked number 7, Alabama's 15. So that's been that. Georgia, on the other hand, has been kind of rough start and then getting better as it's gone. They beat Clemson right out the gate, not a shocker there. They beat Kentucky very barely, which is why Kentucky was ranked so high at the beginning, because Georgia only beat them by 1 point, 13-12. Then Georgia goes on to lose to Alabama, so their stock drops. Then they beat Auburn. Nobody cares. Auburn's terrible. Then they beat Mississippi State. The reason I'll say they beat Mississippi State 41-31, so the points difference between Georgia and Mississippi State was the same as Texas A&M and Mississippi State, and less than Texas and Mississippi State. So, but Georgia beats Mississippi State, but then Georgia goes on to beat Texas. The rest of the year for Georgia, they've got Florida, they got Ole Miss, they got Tennessee. So it's not exactly a walk in the park, but they'll probably sweep. Unless A&M or LSU ends up winning out, they will probably go to the SEC championship. Alabama's got Missouri, LSU, Mercer, Oklahoma, and then Auburn. LSU probably their only real challenge coming up, and they're ranked number 8. And that's been sort of a weird story too. They're very much like Georgia. They started with a really crappy start, and then they've gotten better as the year has gone on. And then the rest of Texas's season, like we're all pulling for Vanderbilt here, but after Vanderbilt, they've got Florida, who's not very good. They've got Arkansas,
man,
who's not. Yeah, they got Kentucky, right? And then us.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're just going to beat the ever-living.
Yeah, hopefully we're the spoiler, you know.
Ever-loving, compound, complex, fighting really Texas Aggie band. Know,
take a whiz in their breakfast cereal.
Fighting Texas Aggies. You know, beat down. Whoop. That's what I'm hoping for. Yes. Because if we manage to give them a second loss, then they're definitely going to be out.
And we could be in.
Yeah. Hilariously, the only two undefeated in-conference teams, and I mean in-conference like they're undefeated within the conference, is currently Texas A&M and LSU.
Right.
Who play next weekend.
Yep.
So this is kind of a...
it's a lose-lose for pretty much everybody in the SEC except for Texas.
Mm-hmm. One of us will walk away from this no longer being undefeated within the conference. The other one will still be undefeated in the conference and still theoretically have a seat at the SEC conference championship game. Now, the rest of our schedule after LSU is South Carolina, at South Carolina. And I have to admit, South Carolina seems like they're getting better every game too, especially at home.
Eh.
So that may be a harder game than we expect.
You also thought that, you know, we would have a tougher game against Mississippi State, and I think we handled ourselves pretty well.
Yeah, I think we still had a tougher game than we should have.
Eh.
But that's me projecting my father. Then we play New Mexico State, which hopefully I will be at that game with my kids. First Texas A&M football game for them. Then we play Auburn. Shouldn't be a big deal there. And then, of course, the Texas game, which is the reignition of the, I think, third longest rivalry game in the country. Everybody's excited for this coming back. On the other side of that ball, LSU's games after us, they play Alabama. So hopefully Alabama will be looking for blood. And then, of course, they play Florida, poor Florida. And then they play Vanderbilt. And then their last game's against Oklahoma. Who cares? But it'll be interesting. Like I said, this is basically Premier League football at this point in the SEC. So any given weekend, anything can happen. Like I said, the same weekend we upset Missouri, and that was the early game. Everybody thought that was going to be the big news until Arkansas beat Tennessee. And at the time, Tennessee was ranked number 4, and Arkansas was not ranked. So that was going to be the big news of the day because they were the afternoon game. And then Vanderbilt beats Alabama in prime time. So that weekend was notably very crazy. Last weekend also pretty crazy with Georgia knocking off Texas and Oregon knocking off Ohio State. So a lot of shakeup going on in college ball. And of course, I could talk about it for hours. But I'll stop for now and let my voice recuperate.
So I guess that means if you're ready, we'll move on to the NFL.
Hey, we're both terribly sad on this front.
Yes. For different reasons, but both terribly sad.
Yeah.
The Browns are back to being just awful. And I mean, just awful. And I say it like that because I don't want to wear out our producer from all the expletives that I think that the Browns deserve for their performance this year. And you know, the funny part too is you listen to a lot of pundits and sports radio and things like that, and people on the internet, they're like, oh, this is such an overreaction. Oh, you know, it's just a game. No, it's not. No, it's not, because for the last 4 years, we've been a laughingstock because of this horrendous, awful, the most absurd and stupid deal that we made for Deshaun Watson as our main quarterback.
Hey, he's a good quarterback. You just got to keep giving him more chances.
Yeah, you shut up. That is how upset I am about this and how tired I am about trying to find the silver lining all this. It's complete and utter bull.
Yeah.
Okay. Last year, we made it to the playoffs, made it to the first round. And granted, we lost. We lost to a good quarterback. CJ Stroud's actually a good quarterback. Who would have thought? But by that reasoning, that means that we should have been better this year, especially when you consider that our quarterback is supposed to be healthy and good, given all the money he's being paid.
Yeah.
The money that he's going to get paid, whether or not he's playing or not.
Yeah.
The only guaranteed money in all of the NFL. And we are currently 1-6. Our one win against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are terrible.
Back to being terrible again.
Yeah. We've just been bad after bad after bad this season. Our offensive line couldn't hold water with a cup. Our quarterback can't throw and our receivers can't catch. And, you know, our running backs can't get anywhere because the offensive line couldn't stop, you know, a fifth grader.
That's true. Well, going into the first game of the season, Cowboys versus Browns, we all thought that was going to be a good game, and it turned out to be the Cowboys just running over the Browns.
Right.
And I mean, we suck. It turns out the cat's not because the Cowboys are really good. It's just because the Browns suck that much.
And the funny part, too, is that the only silver lining to this whole season is that the defense is actually fairly good. Not as good as last year, but fairly good. But that could be attributed to the fact that they're just so tired of spending 45 to 50 minutes on the field because your offense can't do shit. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just such a bad year. And then this past weekend, we were facing Cincinnati Bengals, who have been doing terrible. Joe Burrow has been terrible against the Browns for almost all of his career, especially in Cleveland. And they beat us. They beat us pretty good. And of course, Watson ruptures his Achilles heel.
Yeah.
So the real story in all of this is that when he was being carted off, there were some, you know, not a few, but more than a few fans that were cheering or, you know, heckling Deshaun Watson. And, you know, there are a bunch of the players. I'll grant you, players are supposed to defend each other, I guess. But, you know, you can't blame fans for being happy to see this when the only story Deshaun Watson comes up with are bad ones. Nothing good has happened with Deshaun Watson since we got him. Nothing. You know, he may have won us a one or two games, but he certainly hasn't been the quarterback that he promised he was going to be. He comes up with so much baggage. It's ridiculous. And it's just been awful. I haven't watched a single full game other than the first game of the season this whole season. I don't watch it anymore. It doesn't give me joy. It doesn't. I don't have any hope for this season. I'm sad that baseball is over because now I don't know what I'm going to watch other than hockey and some soccer that's left because they're just that bad. It's just that bad. We're back to the way we were. And it's unfortunate because we were bad for 20 years before that. And of course, all this happens and we got rid of Baker Mayfield so we can get Deshaun Watson. Baker Mayfield's down in Tampa kicking ass.
Yeah, and taking names. Okay.
Yeah, and taking names. And Joe Flacco, which we got rid of because we said that we couldn't afford to keep him or that we didn't want him fracturing, you know, the locker room or whatever reason they gave, is out with Indianapolis doing a fine job over there. I all these moves, and you just look at the coach, and you look at the GM, and you look at the owners and go, what the hell are you guys doing? What are you doing? You know, some people try to defend Kevin Stefanski. Oh, you know, he's two-time head coach of the year. Go, well, not this year. This year he's god-awful because he can't get his players to play.
Yeah. As sort of a partial Browns fan, it feels like to me, like, as a Cowboys fan, you know, Jerry Jones is the problem. He's been the problem for as long as he's owned the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. But he's the problem because he's inept. He wants to run the show, and he's not good at it. He needs to step aside and actually hire a real GM who knows what the bleep they're doing. It feels like the GM and the owner and the coach and the Browns all hate Cleveland and just want to make the people who live in Cleveland suffer. Like, they all have a grudge against Cleveland, and they swore an oath to each other that they were going to bring as much pain and sorrow to Cleveland fans as they possibly could. And that's what they decided to do. That's what all of this feels like.
Well, it's funny you put it that way, because here's the thing. The last couple of weeks, people kept asking Kevin Stefanski, is Deshaun Watson still your starting quarterback? And he keeps saying yes, even though the tape will suggest you every week that he's just awful, that he's not good, that there's some sort of breakdown between him and the rest of the team. And he'll stand there with a blank face and just say, Deshaun Watson's our starting quarterback. And you're like, okay, so what's going on? Is there something backroom happening? I mean, are the Haslams making you say this because you're the two-time head coach of the year? You would think you'd be making a change or doing something to improve this team, and it's not happening.
Right.
So either you really like Deshaun Watson, you don't know how to make things better, or they're making you say this and do the status quo, even though the season's already lost and we're only 7 games into it. And that's probably the part that's been the most infuriating for fans, is because Stefanski gives nothing. I mean, nothing in these interviews. He doesn't let you know what the problems are or how they're going to fix it or what they're going to do. He just keeps saying the same thing. Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, I'm not going to go into this. I'm not going to go into that. We're doing it day by day, day by day. You know, this injury is day by day. And you're just like, this is just awful. I don't know why you bother coming up. I don't know why anybody bothers asking you questions, because you'll still get the same answer every time. So it's just maddening. It's disappointing. It's sad. And I'm not going to spend my Sunday afternoons angry over the Browns. I'm just not going to do it.
That's a wise idea, I think.
Especially now, because there are more and more talks about trading or somehow moving Myles Garrett and Nick Chubb. And at that point, I don't know. I don't know.
I say, well, that. I mean, they already traded Amari Cooper, right? And like,
yeah.
I mean, talk about a move that'll piss off every Dallas fan. They traded Amari Cooper and they got a better deal than we did for that trade. Oh my God. And we're still pissed that we don't have Coop. We still miss him.
So yeah, I was gonna say, go ahead with the Cowboys, because even I've heard some of the things that have been happening with the Cowboys.
You know, we looked really good in the opener against the Browns. We looked very good in that game, and then we played against the Saints and they tore us apart. And then we played against the Ravens, and very similar to the Alabama-Georgia game, the Ravens owned us for 3 quarters, and then for the last 8 minutes or so, we almost came back and won the game. Like, had an onside kick, you know, managed to convert that into a touchdown, 2 touchdowns in a row, you know, had a 3-and-out, got another touchdown. Like, we were almost going to win. Like, we had it. But we screwed up. I don't remember what it was, but, you know, we just couldn't pull it off of the air. And everybody's screaming at the field, like, where was this the other 3 quarters? Like, what the hell, guys? you know, since then we're just not very good. Well, and part of that is we lost most of our defensive line is injured. Lawrence and Parsons and there's another guy whose name is escaping me who are our big sack guys, our big, you know, pass rushers. They're all out. They're all injured. On the offensive side of the ball, we have lost, I think, two offensive linemen. Our line is not great. And, you know, Dak just not playing that great. And they're just, I don't know. You want them to be good and they're not. And we're paying them so much money. You know, it's kind of like when Jerry Jones said that we were all in during the offseason. What he meant by that was, I'm going to go all in on breaking my bank account and we're not going to win. that's what it seems like. Because I think we've got the highest paid wide receiver and the highest paid quarterback in the league right now.
Well, Pat, you got to be careful now. Careful, because if Jerry Jones gets wind of this podcast, he might fire you and go pay somebody else to say these things.
That's true. Yes. Yeah, that's not what you're paid for. You're not paid to criticize me or to make morning quarterback judgment calls. I'm like, BS, I'm not. That's exactly what I paid for.
Especially when you consider he doesn't pay you at all.
That's right.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, apparently the big news, well, okay, it wasn't the big news, but it's one of those things going on around the internet is that Jerry Jones goes on two shows every week. Their sports talk radio shows. Now, I've learned from listening to both commentators from the actual show that we're talking about and from other sports radio that these stations actually pay Jerry Jones to have Jerry Jones come on. The stations are paying the team, not the other way around. Yeah. So one of these stations in this weekly show that he was on, they start asking him these tough questions about the Cowboys because, you know, of how bad their season's going. And Jerry Jones, apparently, he just steps right all over him and goes, hey, you don't get to ask me those questions. You don't get to ask me those questions. And if you're not careful, I'm going to fire you and I'm going to get somebody else to ask questions. And yeah. The guys are kind of like a little stunned about this because they're like, well, it's our job to ask these questions. He's like, no, it's not. And it's like, well, no, it is.
It really is.
and two, we're paying you to answer these questions. So,
yeah. The insane thing to me is you look at our record, right? You know, we've won three games and we lost four. So it's not like we're awful, awful, right? Like we beat the Steelers. We beat the Giants. Whoop-de-doo. We only beat the Giants 20-15. We beat the Steelers 20-17. That was all the way down to the end. Literally the last 4 seconds, Dak manages to finally not throw an interception in the end zone and actually throw it to one of our own players. And he caught the ball and we went on a touchdown and we won that game. Unlike the Lions game where we throw literally two interceptions in the end zone. And we get decimated by the Lions, 47-9. Not quite decimated because that would be 109. But either way, half decimated, who gives a flip? The Lions destroy us 47-9. Like we literally don't get a touchdown. This is at home. We've had a distinct home field advantage for about four or five years now. Not this year. We're getting beat left and right at home. The Saints was at home. The Ravens were at home. Heck, we might be better on the road this year. Actually, we are better on the road this year. We've lost every game at home, and all the games we've won have been on the road. So I don't. And the Lions game was so maddening. And also, it's a very petty game. I know nobody, including myself, remembers last year's Dallas Lions game. It happened late in the season. Both teams were on the road to getting into the postseason. So every win counted.
I have a theory as to why they're winning on the road and not at home.
Well,
it's probably because while they're on the road, Jerry Jones can't sneak into the players' rooms and creep the f- out of them.
Yeah, that might be it.
I guarantee you that's what he's doing. He's just creeping into their rooms at night going, you better win.
They're not getting good night's sleep.
That's it.
So by the way, last year during the Lions-Cowboys game, the Lions may have won that game if it hadn't have been for an ineligible man down field or ineligible receiver. Basically, it was a trick play. They threw to one of their linemen who had not reported in as eligible. And he thought he had. The ref said he didn't. So in this game, he reports as eligible, I want to say over 30 times. They never throw the ball to him. there's no play in which they use this guy. He just constantly goes over the ref and says, I'm eligible for this play. Like, just as a rub it in your face, petty bullshit thing. So the weird part to me about this Lions Cowboys game, the Lions pull out about four trick plays through the course of it. They do end up throwing it a pass to a lineman. They do a multi flea flicker. They do like a four by crossback, which is where you hand it off four times in the backfield so nobody knows where the bleep the ball is, including the guy who's got the camera. And they fake a field goal. There's a field goal or a punt, one or the other. And they end up getting a touchdown off that. But about three of these all happen after they're 30 points over Dallas. And so you got to be asking yourself, why are you pulling trick plays when you're winning by 30 points?
It's kind of a move.
Right, exactly. This was a very petty game. Very much the coach of the Lions has potentially shot himself in the foot, because now a lot of folks have seen some of his trick plays. And he shot at himself in the foot against the Cowboys. And we're just not that good this year. So, we got the 49ers coming up. We'll probably, we lost our bye week this last weekend. It was bad. 21-17, the bye week beat us. That's how bad I feel like we are. We lose the bye week. But either way, we're playing the 49ers. They'll probably rip us to shreds. After that, we got the Falcons. We'll probably barely beat them. Then the Eagles will probably slap each other to death. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. The funny part is this is not happening just to us. It's the entire NFC East. So it feels like we have two types of years in the NFC East. We have NFC least years where we all suck. And it's a matter of like who has the most wins, who has that one or two wins that can actually make them eligible for the playoffs. And then we have the NFC beast years where we're all awesome, which was like 2 years ago. This is looking like an NFC least year where it's going to be a slap fight to figure out who wins the division and gets to go on. But I don't think anybody in the NFC East is going to clinch a wild card spot. So,
yeah, I'm looking ahead to the Browns schedule, and honest to God, I don't know who we could beat the rest of the season. We got Chargers, Saints, the Broncos. I mean, other than our divisional guys, which I still don't think we'll win, and the Dolphins.
Yeah, the Saints have like I want to say they have got 21 injuries right now, including their quarterback.
Yeah, I still don't know.
I know. It was interesting though. The Monday Night Football, was it Monday Night Football or was it Thursday Night Football? Either way, one of those two. It was the Broncos versus the Saints, and the Broncos were playing their backup quarterback, who is Bo Nix. Who, if you don't know, Bo Nix played for Oregon. Prior to Oregon, he played for Auburn. He sucked at Auburn. He was awesome at Oregon and got the Heisman. And then Spencer Rattler is the backup quarterback for the Saints. Well, Derek Carr has been injured, so Rattler's in. Rattler played for South Carolina. So we had an SEC quarterback rematch for Thursday Night Football. And Bo Nix looked really good, and Rattler did not. So the Saints are not looking good right now. So you might have a chance against them.
Yeah, but I wouldn't put money on it.
Yeah, it feels like they're going into a full honest to God rebuild where they just trade everybody off and start back in the beginning.
Oh, my God. But that's the problem. We can't, because we owe so much freaking stupid money to Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
I think this is going to set us back another 10 years.
I mean, if he dies, do you still have to pay him? Do you have to pay his estate?
Let's not go down that road, because this is the internet and this could get really tricky really fast. Yeah,
I know, because I know there's Browns fans thinking about that right now. I know there's calculations going on. Does this money count towards the cap?
Also, because I'm a hockey fan, it's a little bit in bad taste because something like that did happen in hockey.
Yeah. True enough.
Did we talk about the last time we talked sports? I don't think we did.
I do think we did, but
okay.
You could talk about it again if you want.
Just, you know, a quick reminder. Yeah, in hockey, the Columbus Blue Jackets lost Johnny Gaudreau to an accident. So, and there was talk about that, you know. It was funny because there were some people are like, listen, I don't want to be that guy, but how does this affect our salary cap?
I mean, it's a valid question. The guy was, I think, the highest paid on the team.
Well, you mean talk about Watson or Gaudreau?
No, Gaudreau, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if he was the highest. I mean, it would make sense if he was. But I mean, other than that, it's just, you know, the fact that he was a star player. So, yeah, it's a sizable part of the cap. But from what I understand, they did set that aside. So they were able to use that money for other players. Yeah, just, you know, bring that up. It's like, in sports, it
let's, does happen. Let's, yeah, no, we have had to have that.
It has happened. Yeah, it's just so depressing.
Yeah, so that's the NFL for us this year, folks.
Even though we're on week, what, 8?
Yeah, about halfway, a little less than halfway through now. College has been much more exciting by far. I'm all about Saturday.
I might actually get to watch this week.
Yeah.
Well, most Saturdays I've been working, but not this Saturday, at least not at the moment.
Yeah. Good point. Well, any other sports ball we want to talk, or we want to wrap it up?
I guess real quickly, hockey's back. Yay. Blue Jackets doing all right. They won tonight that we're recording. Beat Toronto 6-2. That puts them, I want to say, 3-2. Which is a much better start than last year. They're looking young and vibrant and much better than they were last year. Nope, 2-3. Weird. I don't remember the third loss, but they still did look a lot better than last year. In soccer, we're about to get ready for Major League Soccer playoffs. The Crew are in second place. They're going to have to go up against Lionel Messi and Inter City Miami. We'll see if they can win again this year. Probably not, because it seems like the international competitions are taking much bigger toll on Major League Soccer players this year. A lot more players are being called up for their national teams and whatnot. But that's the quick soccer and hockey roundup.
Yeah. Ferrari's making a go at winning out on F1, trying to beat Red Bull for the first time in forever. Pretty sure they won the I'll have to look at the American Grand Prix in Austin, but I think they won that one. At least they had the first and second spots when I checked in, when they were 38 laps out of 72. So they had it at the halfway point, but anybody's race at that point. So we'll see if anybody can manage to knock off Max Verstappen, the Denmark, or is it Denmark? Hollander? Who races for Red Bull, who's been the dominant man in F1 sports for almost 5 years now. The man is like an unstoppable force.
Are you trying to remember what country Holland is?
Well, it's weird. So Holland, if I remember, Holland's not a country. It's actually Denmark.
Well, Holland is the Netherlands.
Right. Oh, that's right. It's yes. He's a Netherlander. Yes. That is the problem I was having. It's orange. Thank you, Bruce.
You're welcome. Yeah. Your geography lesson for the day, folks.
Yep. The Netherlands and Denmark are not the same place.
They are absolutely not the same place.
And Holland is usually referring to the Netherlands.
That is correct.
And if you search for Holland, it'll come up, and there's a whole tourist thing, and that is actually run by the Netherlands Tourism Board, because they know everybody just refers to them as Holland. It's sort of like Germany and Deutschland, because America.
Yep. So it's funny, because Wikipedia, Holland is a geographical region and former province of the western coast of the Netherlands.
Yeah, I think we just refer to the whole thing as Holland, because America. All right, I think that wraps us up, folks. Remember, we do have a Patreon. We would love for you to give us your money so we can pay our editors. Please consider giving us $1 a month. I think the show is worth at least that. if we made you laugh, let us know. We have a website, patandthefatman.com. We're on Facebook, Pat and the Fat Man, Instagram, at Pat and the Fat Man, and on the X, at Fatman1238, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. So hit us up, become a patron. We will love you forever. And I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man.
Stay classy.
Go Guards.
America.
Yeah.
Coming again to save the day. Yeah. And he was on fire.